All right, well, good morning, everybody. Hey, welcome to Faith. If we haven't met, my name is Mike. I am one of the pastors on staff here, and glad to be with you today in person, glad to be with you today online, as we are in week three of a series that we have entitled Breaking Through the Busy. And really, in the series, we're just recognizing that in the midst of life, it is really easy to fall into a trap where some of the more important aspects of our spirituality and our relationship with God get crowded out into the background by all the busyness, because it's just life is busy. If I'm honest, it's a trap that I regularly find myself falling into, because between what I have to get done here at church and what I have to get done here at, you know, get done at home and trying to make time for family and friends and squeezing time to do recreation and exercise, life is crazy busy. And the thing is, any of you could come up here and share your list of things that make your life busy, because at the end of the day, busy isn't a pastor thing. Busy is a people thing. If you are a person living in this world, chances are you have all kinds of things that are competing for your time and attention, and if you let them, they will crowd out some of the more important aspects of your life and your spirituality. And so in this week, we're simply reminding ourselves of four key components of our spirituality that we would do well to make sure, hey, I don't care how busy life gets, I'm going to make sure I make room for these things because they're that important. And so today, we're going to spend some time kind of unpacking a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to have some fun, at least fun for some of, more fun for some of us than for others, but we'll look at some stories, and we will remind ourselves of a truth that many of us knew when we walked in those doors. That truth simply being this, that two are better than one. Two are better than one. So we're going to take a minute and pray, invite God to be part of this. Also, hopefully when you came in, you saw on the seats prayer guides for the DR trip. In 6 days, on Saturday the 30th, we have a group of about 20 folks here from Faith heading down to the Dominican to partner with Tal Como Soy. It's a church plant that we partnered with last year and have been partnering with for a while now. Please be praying for us in the week to come as we're trying to get all the details for that trip wrapped up, and please be praying for us while we are down there. So let's pray for that, our time together, and then we'll jump into things. Father, thank you so much for Tammy and for Hochi and the church that they have started. Thank you for an opportunity just to go down and to lock arms with them and partner with them. Father, we pray that you would bless the construction project, the medical clinic, the dental clinic, and just that the compassion of Jesus would be poured out in that community in a way that causes people to take notice and consider you. Fathers, we spend time today just exploring the scriptures. Please open our minds and our hearts to you and to your truth. I just pray for just all the stuff that gets in the way, that in this time you would push it to the side. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the part of our spirituality that we want to look at today and remind ourselves of the importance of today is community. I know some of you are sitting there and you're going, all right, this is a sermon. Why are they going to tell us why it's so important to be in a small group, or as we call them here at Faith, growth groups? And this is a Sunday where they're going to like try and pressure me to get signed up for one if I'm not in one already. And you're right. That is exactly what we're going to talk about, and that is exactly what I'm going to try and do. All right? And I get it. Like, some of you are sitting there and you're going, you don't get it. I am too busy to be in a group. And I'd be like, that's kind of the point of this series. All right? And so today we're just going to spend some time in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And normally, if you're watching online today, normally we've got the TV over here, and you can see the passage up on the screens. We're going to use the stage differently today, and we wanted to make sure all the equipment remained unhurt. And so people will see how that goes, but the equipment we're taking care of today, all right? And so if you're watching online, you can just push pause. You can go grab a Bible. We will be right here when you come back and push play, and you can follow along that way, and then the screen will be up here next week. So, all right, so Ecclesiastes chapter 4, picking up at verse 9, Solomon reminds us of our truth. He tells us two are better than one. As he gets started, Solomon's like, listen, you can do life solo. You can do the spirituality thing on your own. You can live life outside of the context of intentional Christian community like you would find in a healthy growth group. But, if you want your spirituality to be deeper and richer and more productive, you're going to do this in community rather than isolation, because two are better than one. Now, a fair question to pose to Solomon is why? What is it that makes doing our spirituality in the context of community better? What is it that doing this thing with other people rather than alone in isolation by ourselves is that's going to cause us to experience something richer and deeper than we would if we were doing it all on our own? Almost as if Solomon anticipates that question, what he does next is he fires off in rapid succession four reasons why two are better than one. First one is simply this. Solomon says, two are better than one because they get a good return for their labor. So let me invite Ryan up here. Come on up here, Ryan. Ryan is one of our students here at Faith. He's a senior this year. If you haven't gotten to know Ryan, you can clap for Ryan. They love you already. If you haven't gotten to know Ryan, you have missed out. But you've got till what, May?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got till May, so you get on it, all right? Then you're gone. No coming back. So if you see Ryan in the lobby after church today, you should thank him. Because I am going to use and abuse Ryan all sermon long to try and illustrate the points that Solomon is making here, all right? So, that said, can you grab that cooler and just bring it up on the stage? Thanks, buddy. All right. So, my wife is kind of a spiritual giant. She is not... You're the man. Excellent. I'd like it over here. You know what? Hang on. You get that. I'll get this. Here we go. Ready? Thank you. And we need to get the hinges in. There we go. All right. Thank you, sir. You can have a seat. So, as I was saying, yeah, just right there. My wife's a bit of a spiritual giant. She is not just in one growth group. Nay, nay. She is in multiple growth groups. One of the groups that she's a part of meets on Tuesday nights. It is a group of women who are reading, every week they read the same chunk of scripture together, and their goal is over the years to get through the entire Bible together. And every Tuesday night they come together and they discuss what they've been reading. Now, I love what I hear coming out of that group, the reports that I hear. Like, these women will talk about how they are reading more regularly than they have read before, how they are reading parts of the Bible that they had never read before, how they are understanding what they are reading in new and exciting ways, how they are applying what they have been reading in ways that they've never done before. These ladies are talking about how in this small group, they are growing spiritually. They are growing to become like Jesus in ways that they just never have prior to being in this group. And as a pastor, I love hearing that kind of stuff about our groups. Now, let me ask you something. Could those ladies read their Bible on their own? Of course they could. In fact, it would be more convenient and more efficient for them to do so. They could just read their Bible at home, and then they get an hour and a half, 2 hours on Tuesday nights back. They could spend it any way that they want. And prior to being in that group, all kinds of ladies in that group did read their Bible by themselves. But they have found, as they are reading their Bible together, things are happening in their lives that weren't happening when they were reading alone. Community. Reading in community has led to greater accountability and more consistency in their reading. Community has, and the structure that it provided led to greater comprehensiveness in what they were reading. Community and the accountability that it provided led to them challenging one another and applying what they were reading more. Community led to them understanding, you know, as they discussed what they were reading, all of a sudden there's new levels of comprehension taking place. As these ladies did together what they had once done alone, they got a better return on their labor. The work that they did together caused them to get things done that it was just way easier, and it got way further than when they were doing it alone. When it comes to the spiritual practices, the spiritual disciplines, we can engage in those by ourselves. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody is condemning the women in this small group that my wife is a part of for reading their Bibles by themselves. Nobody's saying that's wrong. But there are certain spiritual practices that we would do well to intentionally do in the context of community. Because the very nature of community will cause what that practice is meant to cultivate in our life. It grows that in ways that doing it in isolation simply won't. Two are better than one because they get a better return for their labor. Not only so, but two are better than one because if either of them falls down, and some versions will say falls down into a pit, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So come on back up here, Ryan. You may want to sit in the front row. You can be back and forth. Now, I really wish we had a pit to throw Ryan into to illustrate this point, but we don't have a pit, but we do have duct tape, and the duct tape will kind of get the same kind of thing done. So go ahead and put your feet together there, buddy. No, you just stand there. Go, just like that. I'll do all the work. You just stand there, all right? There we go. All right. Does that feel good? Yeah, it feels great, right? All right, and we want to get your knees here. Aren't you glad you didn't wear shorts to church today? All right, there we are. And I don't want your legs to feel, you know, like they got something in your arms. So right up against your side. There we go. Very good. All right. Yeah, you'll be fine. You're tough. You're young. You're resilient. Okay. Now, we need to get you down on the ground. I suppose we could do like a trust fall. Do you trust me? Yeah, that's. At this stage, I wouldn't trust me either, but we still got to get you down on the ground. So you just nice and easy. Come on down. Come on, buddy. There you go. There you go. All right. Now, staying on the stage, I just need you to get up. All right? There we go. Wait, you took your arm out. What are you doing? All right, we got to get you back down there. Obviously, we didn't use enough tape. Can't break free like that. Get all He-Man on me here. All right. So, Michael Knapp, I need you to come on up here. And don't worry, Michael Knapp, we won't abuse you much. All right. All right. Ooh, I get dizzy doing that. All right. All right, get back down there. Come on. There we go. All right. Okay. Now, you're Michael Knapp. That's right. Yeah, go ahead and help him up if you would, please. Do I have to? Yeah. You don't have to. It would be helpful. All right.
All right, let's go.
Wow. No, it's not supposed to work that way. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, Michael. Don't go anywhere. Let's see here. Go ahead and cut his legs free there. All right.
You trust me?
All right. It's dicey. All right. No. Ideally, the point gets a little bit clearer there. Like if Ryan's down, ideally, it's easier for him to get up if Michael's helping him. I don't know. We'll We'll see. There you go. Okay. You can give me back my... All right. There we go. Do you want some help with that? No. All right. You can have a seat. We'll get you back up here. All right. Now, I would contend that Solomon is intentionally gracious in his choice of language. He says, if either of them falls down. And you demonstrated this. It's not if, it is when. It is when. If you are following Jesus, at some point in time, you're going to mess up, you're going to fail to live up, you're going to sin. And when we fall into the pit of sin, the thing that can make all the difference in the world is whether we're going to wallow in that pit or get up, is having somebody with us. When way back when I was in seminary, my wife and I hosted a small group at our house for young adults. And we eventually had about 25 to 30 young adults, college kids, come into our house for Bible study. And after the group got established and we built some relationships and trust, a number of the guys in that small group came to me, independent of one another, and said, hey, I got a problem with pornography. Can you help me figure this out? And so for the sake of efficiency and for the sake of trying to harness the power of community, what we did is we started a second small group that met 1 hour prior to the first small group. And to be part of the second small group, you had to be a guy, you had to have a past or present issue of pornography, and you had to be serious about trying to follow Jesus and place that part of your life under his authority. Never mind what your culture says, never mind what your hormones are saying. I'm saying, hey, I want to take my sexuality and place it under the lordship of Jesus. And so we got together every Wednesday night for an hour, you know, before the bigger small group. And this group of guys and I, we would celebrate where there was victory. We would challenge each other where there was apathy. And we would pray for each other in the week to come. And one of the things that we did to try and move the ball forward is we had a list of questions that we would ask each other in a round-robin kind of format. And I hope I will never forget the night we're asking these questions, and Jack is being asked the questions by a guy next to him. And the last question on that list was, have you lied to me about anything? And the guy said to Jack, have you lied to me about anything? And he just put his head down, and you just watch him deflate. And when he looked up, you could see the brokenness, and just dejected, he says, yeah. I've been lying to you guys for a few weeks now. And he began to tell this story about he met this girl at school, we'll call her Jill, and you know, she was pretty, and he was attracted to him. In fact, she wasn't just attracted to him, she aggressively pursued him. And so he'd get these calls, hey, you want to meet up? And he knew if he met up, they were going to hook up. And he knew that he should be telling her no. He knew that what he was going to go and do was bad for him and bad for her, and it was not honoring the relationship with Jesus he was trying to live into. But as he told us about where his life was going, he said, I know I should tell her no. For my sake, for her sake, for God's sake, I just can't do it. And so me and another guy in the group, we came up with this crazy plan. A couple days later, me and the other guy and Jack, we got together, and we called Jill on the phone. And me and the other guy, we introduced ourselves to Jill, and we explained to her that the three of us were in this group of guys who were working hard to follow Jesus together in community and live under his lordship when it came to our sexuality. And we were aware of the relationship that she and Jack had together, and he knew it was not an appropriate relationship for him or a good relationship for her, and it didn't line up with being faithful to Jesus, and how he knew he needed to break that thing off but didn't have what it took himself to do it. And so we were calling to help him do that. And then he got on the phone and he said, yep, all those things are true. And he apologized for his role in the relationship with her and said, hey, I can't see you anymore. And then me and the other guy asked Jill not to call Jack anymore. Now, you may be sitting there going, you're right, that was crazy. And some of you may even have a problem with what we did on one level or another, but I'll tell you what, Jack and Jill never went up the hill again. Just saying, that was the end of that relationship. See, He fell into a pit, and he couldn't get out himself. If one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who has no one to help them up. Solomon continues. He says, two are better than one because they can lie down together and keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? What's up, Ryan? Come on up here, buddy. All right. I appreciate you getting us up here. There we go. All right. You can just go ahead and curl up right in here. Just think Michael Scott, little, you know, vanity chest at the end of the bed there. Okay. Oh, lay down. Get comfy. Yeah. Don't make a mess on my stage, man. You got it. You may want to scoot this way so your head isn't hanging, because it's going to be a minute before we get back to you. All right. There, you got this. There we go. All right. So my wife and I like to backpack, and you take all kinds of equipment backpacking. Important piece of equipment is your sleeping bag. Now, sleeping bags have temperature ratings on them, all right? And what most people don't understand is the temperature rating on your bag is a survival rating. It is not a comfort rating. And so you get a 40-degree bag and you think, well, I can go backpacking in 40-degree weather, right? You will survive. You will not be comfortable. So my wife and I, we learned this the hard way. We got these bags, and we get out there into the backcountry, and all of a sudden we are freezing because we've got a bag that's survival rated at 35, and it's like 42 degrees out, and we're just dying, right? So my wife came up with a solution. She said, what we should do is get those bags that zip together. You can get individual sleeping bags, and they zip together, and they make a couple's bag. And she made the suggestion, because my wife knows that I tend to run hot at night, and she's just going to leech the heat off of me and keep warm all night, right? I had to veto the suggestion, though, because God bless my wife, she is a wiggler. And I knew if I'm trapped in this sleeping bag with her all night long, it's going to be bad for my sleep and bad for my marriage and maybe even bad for my liberty. And so what we wound up doing is getting multiple bags, and you take different bags out for different conditions. How you doing? It's a little chilly, right? It's not good. All right, so Michael, you did such a nice job helping him. Would you, like, come on up here and snuggle up? No. Okay, all right. You come on out. You come on out. You go on over there and snuggle up next to Michael. I want you good and warm and ready to go by number four here, all right? We'll see you. Yeah, right over there. Make that guy warm you up, right? Make sure you thank him after church today, all right? Here's the point. He's good. All right, you just sit down in a chair. He'll snuggle. He's fine. All right. Here's the point. Life is cold. Sometimes life is bitter cold. People we love get sick. They don't get better. Sometimes they die. The workload in school or in our job is overwhelming. We feel like, hey, I can't do this thing. Look at that. Sherry's got your back. That's right. Somebody keep you warm. Relationships that should be life-giving and a blessing become life-sucking and a curse. We have financial issues where we feel like we're just crushed under debt. Circumstances just go off the rails, out of control. It had nothing to do with our choices. And sometimes life is just, it is cold. When we do life alone, we're left to freeze when life is cold. But life doesn't have to work like that. Community is meant to provide us with others who can keep us warm when life gets cold. Now, I've been fortunate and blessed by God to have people like that in my life over the years. One of those people is my friend Kevin. For example, about 6 years ago, I was at another church where I'd served as the associate pastor for about a decade, and I'm trying to figure out, hey, you know, is God calling me to pursue a role as a lead pastor? And when my wife and I shared that, there were people who were very encouraging, and there were people who were less than encouraging. There were people who said to me, you're too old to be a lead pastor, or you don't have enough vision to be a lead pastor, or you're too much of a stabilizer, the success you've experienced in ministry, this is a result of the system you're in rather than your giftedness. Kevin came alongside me and said, no, you are gifted and called by God to do this. And when they were crazy enough here at Faith 5 years ago to call me on staff, When I first got here, it was crazy stressful. And there were a couple of key initiatives that we needed to work our way through. And I was like, I don't know if I have what it takes to do this or not. And Kevin, again, came alongside me. He's like, no, I believe in you. You can do this. I still have a voicemail saved from 5 years ago on my phone where Kevin's like, no, you've got this. And then the pandemic hit, and like all consistency and is just stripped away. Any kind of physical community is gone. All the metrics that you use to measure purpose in your life are no longer available. I was like, I don't know if I can get through this or not. And there were all kinds of pastors who didn't. And Kevin started this small group specifically for lead pastors in the midst of the pandemic, and he helped us establish new rhythms, helped us figure out a new way to do community, how to reframe purpose. When life was cold, Kevin was somebody consistently in my life who kept me warm. Just incidentally, if you're one of those people who's got more money than you know what to do with, and you want to use some of it to invest in the kingdom, I would recommend to you Rooted Ministries. It's a ministry that Kevin leads, and the whole purpose of that ministry is to help pastors stay warm when life gets cold. Two are better than one. Because they can lie down together and keep warm, but how is one going to keep warm alone? All right, one more reason. Psalm says two are better than one because one may be overpowered. Two can defend themselves. Come on back up, buddy. All right, we're going to need to move this back. Let me get my shooters up here as well, please. Just right back here. Come on. I'm going to get a better return on my labor. I'm going to move this with you. All right. So, Ryan, I need you right here on the black box. All right. Right there. And you can go this way. You can go this way. You can crouch. You can stand tall, but you got to stay on the black box. Now, you got that on? You got that turned on? There we go. So when I texted Ryan's parents, I was like, would you guys like to be shooters for this illustration? The text I got back was, nothing would make me happier. All right. Now, I care about your eyes, so go ahead and put those on.
Right now.
Wow. Get those on. And I'm not completely sadistic. I don't want to leave you totally defenseless here. All right. So you got to decide. You know, which. I mean, you figure this out. All right. Now, shooters. When on the count of three, you're gonna shoot. All right. Make sure you get your aim on Ryan. I would hate for you to shoot and hit each other because that could hurt. We want to center all the pain right here. Okay. All right. So on the count of three, you're going to shoot, and it's fully auto. So just hold the trigger down. There's no sense in letting up. And when I say stop, or when Ryan's in the fetal position down on the ground here, that's when you're going to stop. So you ready, Ryan? You got this. All right, you ready, shooters? On three now. One, two, three. No mercy, Mama. All right, that's stop. Okay, shooters, put those back in there. Everybody give Ryan a hand.
You're sadistic. Holy. Oh my
These are your...
I was not ready for that.
Make sure you thank Ryan after church. Now, anybody pick up on the part of Ryan's defense that wasn't working? What was it? Nobody had his back. Nobody had his back. Life attacks. If you are following Jesus, there are dark spiritual forces that are intent on destroying you. There are people in this life who are going to attack you, oftentimes for stupid reasons. They'll attack anyway. You live in a broken world where sin has ushered in death and disease and chaos and natural disaster, and when you experience those things, it feels like an attack. And there is a brokenness that resides in each of us that will cause us to do stupid things where we might as well be attacking ourselves. Not if, when the attack comes, if we are by ourselves, it is only a matter of time before we're going to be overpowered. But if we have community where there are people where I've got their back and they have my back, two can defend themselves. So let me ask you, in your life, how's the return on investment? Or do you want a better, you're engaged in spiritual activity, but you're not getting the return you know you could and should get? Or in your life, have you fallen into the pit? And you know you should be saying no, but you're saying yes, and you just can't get out. Or in your life, is it just cold right now? Emotionally, relationally, spiritually, you're just cold. Or in your life, has the attack come, and you know it's just a matter of time before you can be overpowered? See, two are better than one because they get a good return on their labor. They can help each other out of the pit. They can keep each other warm. There's somebody there who's got your back. And so after church, if you're not in a growth group, we want to encourage you, walk out those doors and to the right and get signed up. And if you're watching online, fill out a connection card. Put in there, fine, growth group. Pastor James and his team will get a hold of you. Don't let Ryan's pain be for nothing, all right? Sign up for a group. Now, really quickly, as we wrap this up, I want to share some principles with you. Four principles about growth groups that will be helpful to you if you decide to do this, all right? Principle number one, genuine community takes time to develop. Some of you are sitting there and you're going, okay, I did this growth group thing, you know, last year for the church-wide, and I was part of a group for 6 weeks, and I didn't experience what we've been talking about today, so I quit. If you sign up today for a group, you're making a 7-week commitment, because this week's series is, you know, this time it's 7 weeks instead of six. You're making a 7-week commitment. You will not experience what we have been talking about today in just 7 weeks. It doesn't work that way. 7 weeks is a great start, but 7 weeks is not enough to cultivate genuine community. This is not a microwave kind of thing going on here. This takes more time, and if you want to experience the benefits of community, you've got to give it the time. Principle number two, genuine community is work. If we're going to experience what we've been talking about today, like if I want to experience those kind of things, I have to do the work of being there and being there consistently and making sure that I'm showing up on a regular basis. I need to do the work of vulnerability. I need to be real with people about who I am and what's going on in my life. I need to do the work of helping. It's so easy to show up in a community like a growth group and want to be on the receiving end of these things. And ironically and paradoxically, God is going to help us experience community at its best when we are on the giving end of those things. And it, having somebody's back and helping them out of the pit and keeping them warm, it is work. Principle number three, some people are EGRs. EGR stands for extra grace required. We like to fantasize, I'm going to be part of this group, and everybody's going to have their stuff together, and everybody's going to be healthy, and everybody's going to be great. If that was the case, they wouldn't let you and me into the group. Every group has that person who just requires extra grace. And if you don't know who that person is in your group, it just might be you. Amen. That's right. Yeah. So just be ready. Groups are populated with people and they're messed up. All right? And then number four. All right. Groups provide a context. Right, some of you are sitting there going, well, I can do this community thing, and I can do community thing, and I don't have to be in a growth group to do the community thing. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Growth groups provide a context for community. They are not the only context for community. But let me ask you something. If you're not in a group right now, are you getting the return you want? Are you out of the pit or are you stuck in the pit? Are you warm or are you cold? Are you overpowered as if somebody's got your back? If the context for community that you have right now isn't providing the things that Solomon was talking about, why in the world wouldn't you take advantage of the context for community that we're making available to you? If you're like, oh, I'm just too busy. Again, that's the point. Community is so important that we would do well to make room for this in our lives, even in the midst of the busy. So, when we get done today, if you're not in a group, get out there, get signed up, because two are better than one. Let's pray, church. Father, just thank you so much for the Growth Commission here at Faith. All the work they are doing to make groups possible and to make the kind of community that we've been talking about today something that can be cultivated, try and produce in our lives these things that we so desperately need. Thank you for James and his team and just for what they're doing. Father, I just pray that you would help us just to be honest with ourselves about our lives and what we have and what we need and what we need to do, what we need to be willing to make room for in order to have what you meant us to when it comes to this part of our spirituality. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.